This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month: shaping the heliosphere, a record-breaking distant cluster, and another impressive exoplanet haul from HARPS. Solar physicists thought they knew the shape of the Sun's heliosphere, but new results from the Interstellar Boundary Explorer have revealed a huge ribbon of intense emission that was completely unexpected. The space between stars is not empty, but filled with a very tenuous gas known as the interstellar medium. As the Sun moves through this gas, it emits a fast-moving plasma known as the solar wind. These charged particles spread out spherically, creating the heliosphere, a cavity in the interstellar medium swept out by the solar wind. Launched in October 2008, the Interstellar Boundary Explorer, IBEX, was designed to investigate the nature of the interactions between this solar wind and the interstellar medium at the edge of the solar system, where the wind hits the ISM and slows down in a termination shock, or what is known as the interstellar boundary. This boundary region emits no light, so it cannot be detected by conventional telescopes. Models predicted that the shape of the heliosphere resembled a comet, a sphere that was swept back by the Sun's movement through the ISM, but what IBEX found was something different. IBEX was designed to detect particles known as energetic neutral atoms. They start off as ionized atoms in the boundary region, where they can pick up electrons and become neutral. Ionized atoms have electrical charge, and are affected by the charged plasma of the solar wind and the magnetic fields that are carried with it. Once they become neutral, they are no longer affected by these magnetic fields, and can travel along straight trajectories. The detectors on IBEX were designed to pick up these energetic neutral atoms coming from the boundary region. Over 6 months of observations, they mapped the whole sky. What the results show is an unexpectedly bright ribbon of emission, running almost 360 degrees around the sky, a feature that was not predicted by models of the heliosphere. This ribbon is thought to be where charged particles are becoming bunched at the boundary. The reason for this is not certain, although David McComas, IBEX's principal investigator, suggests that it could be caused by the magnetic fields of the Milky Way's own galactic wind interacting with the heliosphere. The results, published in the journal Science during October, put the observations of the Voyager spacecraft in context. The two Voyager probes were launched in 1977 and are currently travelling through the interstellar boundary region where the energetic neutral atoms originate. While the results from IBEX match what the Voyager probes are encountering, the bright strip discovered by IBEX runs right between the positions of the two spacecraft. Eric Christian, IBEX deputy mission scientist at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center, likens this effect to having two weather stations which miss a big storm passing directly between them. The ribbon has also been detected in data from the Cassini spacecraft, although at different energies from the particles detected by IBEX. While it seems clear that the true shape of the heliosphere is somewhere between a comet and a perfect sphere, much more modelling is needed. Look deep enough with a sensitive telescope, and a seemingly empty patch of sky is full of galaxies. Look closely, and you'll see that they're often gathered together in clusters. These massive collections of galaxies are the largest gravitationally bound objects in the universe, but it is uncertain how long ago these clusters formed. Now, using a variety of instruments, a team led by Stefano Andrian of the National Institute for Astrophysics in Milan, Italy, has discovered the most distant galaxy cluster ever found. The cluster, known as JKCS041, is located in the constellation of Cetus and lies about 10.2 billion light-years away, beating the previous record holder by almost 1 billion light-years. It is so far away that the light now arriving at Earth was produced by the cluster when the universe was only about a quarter of its current age. The astronomers first discovered the galaxy in infrared observations made with the UK infrared telescope, UKIRT, in 2006. The optical light from galaxies this far away is shifted into the infrared part of the spectrum due to the expansion of the universe, so old galaxies like these are often detected by infrared telescopes. Further observations with both optical and infrared telescopes confirmed the distance of the object, but could not rule out the possibility that, rather than being a genuine gravitationally bound cluster, the object could just be a chance alignment of galaxies along our line of sight. To test this, the team examined X-ray observations from the Chandra Space Telescope. Nearby galaxy clusters have extended X-ray emission, caused by hot gas in the space between the galaxies. This gas, known as the hot intracluster medium, is only observed in genuine gravitationally bound clusters of galaxies, and so is a good test of whether a group of galaxies just lie along the same line of sight by chance, or are physically associated. When the astronomers examined the Chandra observations of JKCS041, they found a significant amount of extended X-ray emission within the cluster, coming from the hot gas of the intracluster medium, showing that it is a physically connected group of galaxies. This is an important discovery, because this is close to the distance limit expected for a galaxy cluster, based on how long it should take for them to assemble following the Big Bang, and studying its characteristics can reveal much more about how the universe evolved. 2009 has been a good year for exoplanets, and one team of astronomers have discovered most of them. Since the first planet was found orbiting a star other than the Sun, many more have been discovered using increasingly sensitive instruments and sophisticated techniques. Because they are so faint compared to their parent stars, most planets are discovered through indirect methods. One of the most successful has been the radial velocity method, which uses the principle of the Doppler effect to detect the tiny changes in velocity of a star caused by an orbiting planet. This is the technique used by the High Accuracy Radial Velocity Planet Searcher, or HARPS, mounted on the European Southern Observatory's 3.6-metre telescope at La Silla in Chile, which repeatedly measures the radial velocities of stars that might host planetary systems. On the 19th of October, members of the HARPS team presented their latest results, the discovery of another 32 new planets, bringing the total number of known exoplanets to more than 400. The radial velocity technique is most sensitive to large planets orbiting close to their parent star, but due to its high precision, HARPS is capable of detecting smaller planets known as super-Earths. The new batch of exoplanets range in size from just 5 times the mass of the Earth up to 10 times the mass of Jupiter. HARPS has been largely responsible for the detection of 24 of the 28 known planets with masses below 20 times that of Earth, and has now discovered more than 75 of the 400 known exoplanets, making it the most productive current planet finder. However, HARPS will soon have competition in the form of Kepler, a NASA satellite launched in March with the aim of detecting Earth-sized planets in the habitable zone, the region around a star where water can exist as a liquid. Rather than measuring the wobble of stars, Kepler will monitor their brightness, looking for the tiny dips in intensity caused by planetary transits. And finally, October was another busy month of International Year of Astronomy events. On the 22nd to the 24th of October, the IYA cornerstone project Galilean Nights saw astronomers and enthusiasts taking to the streets all around the globe, pointing their telescopes at the same objects that Italian astronomer Galileo observed 400 years ago. Spread over 3 nights, the project saw hundreds of registered events take place, with many people getting their first look through a telescope at Jupiter and the Moon. Following on from Galilean Nights came the second Moonwatch event of the year. This UK-based event ran from October the 24th to November the 1st, encouraging people to go out and observe the moon. As part of the event, a moonwatch was also held on Twitter on October the 26th and 27th, turning it into a global event. Unfortunately, many observers saw nothing but clouds on both nights, but this didn't stop many Twitter users joining in, tweeting and retweeting images, information and live video from across the world. Astronomy FM hosted a special Moonwatch show that went on for several hours, including on-the-hour updates from Adrian West of Newbury Astronomical Society in the UK, and Elias Jordan, Tavi Greiner, and Dr. Ian O'Neill in the US. Despite the clouds, this second Moonwatch event was again an astounding success, with people from around the world joining in with a virtual star party of epic proportions. The team behind the Twitter Moonwatch are already planning their next event, a meteor watch, which will be held to coincide with the Geminid meteor shower in December.